We've all got scars, some on the outside and some on the inside. But we can't be defined by our scars. I've spoken with some extraordinary people about how they've become empowered by their scars. This is I've Got Scars, Baby. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I understand the whole concept of therapy may seem a bit uncomfortable for some, but I like to think of it this way. Some of the greatest athletes you know have had a coach to point out to them ways to improve their game. Some of the most talented actors have attended workshops to improve their craft. And some of the wealthiest CEOs owe their success to mentors. What if we thought of therapy in the same way? What if we looked at therapy as another set of eyes to help us figure out how to get to our next level of success? This is not about stigma. This is about strategy. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy can help. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself and turn your scars into your superpower. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I've Got Scars, Baby listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby. That's BetterHelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby.
First of all, I just want to say thank you so, so much right now. We have a very special guest on the show. His name is Robert Cooper, and he is the founder of Young Men Becoming Men. Okay. Now, he teasing me. I don't know if I'm lead this in here. I might edit it out, but he teasing me over here because he said he's from Delaware. And I was like, they got black people in Delaware. Wait, I said it like this. They got black people in Delaware. I didn't know. Okay. But that's rude, because all the black people in Delaware is like, of course.
Right. That's what you don't get out there often, huh?
I know, I just don't get out to Delaware very often. So I might need to go ahead and roll out there and see what's going on. But anywho, we are going to get to what we came to get to. You know, when you and I spoke, you shared with me some things and I was just like, oh my.
Yes.
You have quite the story. And so today we're going to be talking about the effects of childhood trauma. And I just think that a lot of times we don't know how trauma can show up in people within ourselves. Right. And especially if you are a young person and you're dealing with trauma, where do you go? Who do you talk to?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like who is your advocate? So we're going to talk about that experience from your experience. Let's just go ahead and hop on into your story and what life was like for you growing up in your household.
First, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Life in my, when I was growing up, you know, I had, my parents were parents that were old school mentality. You were seen and not be heard. So as I grew up, that mentality carried on. So when the things that I experienced of being mentally abused and verbally abused, I wasn't able to express myself to them because they didn't have that same manner treatment of when their parents talked down to them, they wasn't able to effectively communicate how their parents made them feel. Mm-hmm. And then their parents told them that, you know, you ought to be quiet because they're an adult.
Yeah.
So in that time, it felt like they made it seem like they was talking back. So when in actuality, you just tell you how you felt.
Yeah.
So that traumatic experience carries on to each generation. And that's how
So for you, when you say mental abuse and all of that kind of stuff, what was actually happening? What was going on?
What was going on? Being called, at that time I was young, I was heavy. So being called that, you know, being pointed out that I was overweight, being pointed out that, you know, certain things that I cared to do, I wouldn't be able to achieve due to them not being able to achieve their goals or somebody pushing them. Mm. So people, you know, times our parents' traumatic experiences, they never get a chance to heal. So the cycle repeats itself.
Yeah. And
the curses repeat themselves. And yeah. at some point, the curses got to be destroyed.
Yeah. So verbal abuse.
Yeah.
Because I was a chubby kid. So I know, like,
yeah.
how sensitive you can be.
Yes.
And it's like, what they gonna say, you know, that right. kind of thing. And you, a lot of times you look to your parents to kind of be your safe space.
Yes.
And so you were hearing that. Was there physical abuse as well?
Not physical abuse. Like, you know, most Black parents, you know, they quick to give you a spanking or beat your hand for something that you didn't do. But it wasn't physically abused. Mm-hmm. I got beaten, but it wasn't due to me. But sometimes it was what was said about me that my parent took the other side of the person instead of actually hearing my side because I was supposed to be seen and not heard.
Wow.
That created resentment and bitterness and anger because it's like, okay, I'm your child. I'm explaining to you what happened. I have no reason to lie to you about what happened because I get no gain from lying.
Yeah.
But somebody else tell a story and they tell the opposite of the truth of it. And it's like, okay, well, this is what I've done. But you never actually gave me a chance to express what I did and what I didn't do.
Hmm. Wow. So as a child, and let me know, how old were you when this was going on? Was it just kind of teenage years, or did you kind of even younger than that?
It was about seven. I started off at the age of seven. Mm-hmm. And then each year, my dad, he was very physically abusive towards my mom. So you got to wake up in the middle of the night and you hear that from the time you go to bed to the time you get back up, to the time you come back home from school. They arguing and fighting again. It's like, okay, where's the relief? Then you go to school and you deal with your peers, and then you got to deal with them teasing you because you may not address the way they dress, or you may not have the things that they have. And it's like, okay, well, where's my outlet? So my outlet was sports. I love sports. So I play everything but golf.
So your outlet was sports?
Yes.
Okay. So if we're just kind of looking at everything, you're in a household where essentially mm-hmm. it's almost like, I imagine it could feel like you might have felt as a child, like, why am I even here? If I'm supposed to be seen and not heard, like, why y'all have a child? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, why am I here? I can't express myself. I tell you that I didn't do a thing. You don't believe me. Then you spank me and then you're calling me overweight when you already know I'm insecure about it anyway.
Right.
And so what does sports do for you?
Sports helped me to be able to communicate because a sport is a team effort and not an individual effort. So sports helped me with being able to bond, being able to effectively communicate, because in a team, we have to work together. So if I'm playing a role, I have to be able to communicate in my role that I will be able to take care of this and help the team. Sports also gave me a safe place to be able to escape for the 1 hour or 2 hours that I played the sport.
Okay. So one of the things you mentioned in the pre-interview is that you had a physical ailment that developed.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. What was that ailment that developed within you?
I mentioned earlier that I was very bitter and very resentful, mm-hmm. and I wasn't able to express myself. So after a while, I held everything in, and I wound up being sick with Crohn's disease. And if nobody don't know what that is, that's an inflammatory bowel disease. Mm-hmm. I dealt with that illness for 6 years. And I was angry, and I was bitter, and it was like, okay, I don't want to forgive. I want to hold on because I want you to feel the pain that you've done to me. I want you to feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And which wasn't the right thing because I was just handling things out of emotion.
Yeah.
And not actually letting go of things because in order to be able to get to the next level, in order to be able to heal, you have to be able to forgive first, not just yourself, but others wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And here's the interesting part is that I'm a believer that people deal with things in different ways and deal with their pain in different ways. And some people are explosive, like, they'll go and they'll be violent or they'll cuss somebody out. They'll, you know, their pain is, you see it more visibly. And then I believe that some people are implosive.
Right.
So they kind of keep it inside of themselves. So right. For you, it sounds like your style for handling trauma and pain was to be more implosive.
Yes, because I had no one to talk to. And I seen how being explosive, which I grew up with my dad, how he would lash out at us. And he'd come in the house drunk and he'd come in the house high. And he would just tell us how he felt about us because he's high and he's dealing with his own issues that he never took the chance to deal with.
Yeah.
So that made me not want to, that made me pretty much, when I was growing up, that made me fear how I would respond. And I didn't want to hurt nobody due to all the suppressed emotion that I had, all the suppressed mental trauma that I was holding on to.
Wow. That's so much for a young person to go through. And so just so, because I'm a big believer of how your mindset can affect your physicality, your physical self. So do you truly believe that you developing Crohn's disease was directly related to you holding in the anger, the trauma, the frustration that you've had growing up?
Yes, because sicknesses come from hatred and resentment and are in your heart. So that what happens, that weakens your body. Mm-hmm. And over time, your body becomes ill because it can't fight off what you suppressed and hold it on to.
Yeah. A lot of times Western medicine and certain types of medicine may not take a look at the entire experience of a person. Right. So I definitely want people who are listening and who are watching this, to have even if you don't believe in the mind body connection totally, like maybe that's just not your thing, you know, that like, I don't know if this is connected to that or not. No. All I would say is just, hey, imagine like if you were just in a moment and you just had 1 minute of just peace, right? And you're just 1 minute of peace. Is your stomach still doing the butterflies and all that? You know what I'm saying? Like when you're at a space, like I start to think about it. If you're nervous about something, like you're about to go speak in front of somebody else or something like that, you know, are you just, everything is cool, you calm, everything? Or do you have the butterflies?
For myself, I get the butterflies.
Yes, you have the butterflies. That's because that mind-body connection. Oh my gosh, they're gonna see me. What about this? That, you know, the anxiety that arises. And so the butterflies is that mind-body connection. So that's all, just for people who aren't totally sure they believe it. But imagine if you always are in fight or flight every day of your life. If you have to do a speech every time you go home.
Yes.
You know, and even scarier in many things, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that you talked about that, because that, I think that's very important. So how did you start to heal? How did what was that transition like for you?
Through my relationship growing up with the Lord Jesus Christ, I got to a point in my life where I was like, okay, I'm ready to let go, because I see me still holding on. It's not getting me nowhere. It's still leaving me in the same place. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly dying, both spiritually and physically. Mm-hmm. I got to a place in my heart where I was like, okay, it's time to let these things go, because one, your parents are not always be around. Two, I want better for myself.
Yeah.
And by me holding on to things, I can't move forward, because that's a weight that I'm carrying.
Yeah. Okay. So whoever's watching this, somebody might say, well, you know, I'm not religious, I'm not Christian, or I'm not this, that, or the other. Here's what he's, you know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we have to understand that sometimes just principles about life, there are certain things that are just, this is just what it is.
Right.
And so if you think about the energy of holding on to resentment, frustration, if there's hatred, if there's any of that, I think if that's gonna, that's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's heavy and it weighs you down.
Yes.
And like, when you do, and I'm not, and here's, I'm gonna ask you now, when we talk, because everybody like to say, I'm about to let this go, right?
Right.
And sometimes it's easier said than done, obviously. Right. But come on now. They done did all the things that wasn't right. They just, they weren't supportive. They weren't all, you know, how can it, the way you say it, like, how can it be easy to let it go? How can you ignore the fact that you weren't supported? How can you release that? How can you release that those thoughts, those feelings, that energy? How do you release that?
You have to, your heart and your mind have to line up to wanting to forgive. And you have to work through the process of your triggers. Mm. And that's what makes it hard for us to let go, because in your mind you want to let go, but soon you're still holding on to waiting for them to do something again. So you're not fully ready to let it go and fully ready to heal.
Mm. How long was that process for you?
Be honest, it was 6 years for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. Now somebody was like, you know, you mean 6 weeks or something, 6 days. Mm-mm. I'm trying to, this got to be easy.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
No, especially dealing with the triggers of what was done to you. That's the hard part. Mm. Because like I mentioned earlier, it's like, okay, you want to forgive, but you sit back like, okay, if you do this to me this time, I'm gonna do it different this time. I'm gonna treat you different this time. I'm not gonna allow you to do this. So now you got your mind set up on how you already wanted to attack.
Yeah.
So now all that forgiveness is getting pushed behind because you're still in your defense mode. You're still looking for them to make that one thing, because you probably didn't want to, you didn't get a chance to speak your mind the way you want to speak your mind, or you didn't want to handle the situation the way you wanted to handle the prior. So now that you're to the point where you can, I could speak up for myself, I could defend myself, I'm gonna shoot you just like this, when altogether that's wrong. And I held on that for 6 years, and that was the process of it. That was a daily process of allowing myself to let go of those triggers. Mm-hmm. But that's the main key, is letting go of the triggers. Because you can forgive and you can move forward, yeah, but if you're still holding on to them triggers, that's a different type of process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will connect that and the triggers with my experience looking in the mirror for the first time. So looking in the mirror for the first time was a 6-month process.
Yeah.
Just to actually, you know, I have a turtleneck going. Right. See all the stuff, but you know, to be able to look at the actual scars, right? But then I had to, once I was able to look at them, I had to be able to show other people. And what happens is you do get triggered, because other people start looking at your scars, and so instead of looking you in your eye, they're looking at you at your chest, and they're looking, what happened, all, you know what I'm saying, people still pointing, people still asking questions. And so those are triggers, and everybody has those when it comes to their, in their healing process.
Yes.
One of the things that I would just share about my experience briefly is this: you gotta know that the triggers are gonna come. People gonna look at the scars, somebody gonna say something to set you off. And you gotta almost look at it like absorbing, like kind of standing in a light, standing like in a spotlight, because that's gonna happen sometimes. And you don't wanna be in the spotlight of your own life. A lot of times you just wanna blend into the background. You don't want the triggers to happen, but breathe through them.
Right.
That's what I had to learn how to do, is to say, somebody's probably gonna say something because they're gonna be curious, and I'm gonna have to just be okay with it.
Right.
Love myself through the process.
Right.
So for you, the triggers, how long, you said it was 6-year healing process. So when the triggers came, how did you know that, okay, I'm on the right path? How did you know you were starting to see a breakthrough for yourself?
When I had an incident with one of my parents, and I usually respond and I would cut them off and not talk to them for maybe about 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. And then it was to a point where it was like, okay, I was upset and I had my moment. But then it was like, okay, I'll call you, see how you're doing.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Because what I had to do was examine myself.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, I want others to treat me the way I treat them. If I'm not treating you in accordance, how am I expect you to treat me the same?
Yeah.
And the hardest thing to do is examine yourself, because, you know, we know who we are and what we are on the inside, but we're not ready for some of the things to come out. So we don't want to look at that and begin to work on that part of our life for those things to be broken up.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. So now that you've gotten into the space where you feel healed, then you start an organization.
Yes.
So what is it that your organization does for other young men?
Young men becoming men? Mm-hmm. It's a mental organization with youth development workshops. Mm-hmm. Teaches youth community service, teaches youth to learn how to cook, teach youth financial literacy, mm-hmm. and it teaches youth that, you know, it's okay to express your emotions. It's okay. You're not soft or weak if you say, I love you. Because what they fail to realize at that age, when they get older, they're going to want to be in a relationship with someone. If you don't have that softness in your heart, you're not going to be able to love a woman.
Yes. Okay. First of all, you done got me all in my feels over here. You have no idea how happy it makes me to hear a man say these things. It's so important.
Yes,
and yes. You're so right, because women need that. We need to know right. that, yeah, we know that, you know, somebody walk through the door, you can body slam them and throw them out the window. We understand you got that part. That's good.
Right.
But the heart part, you right. know,
that emotional connection.
Yes, that's so important for relationships. And, you know, you have a lot of people that go about life and they're emotionally unavailable.
Yes.
And I imagine a lot of that can come from unhealed trauma.
Yes.
And I love what you said earlier, is that you deserve to be free of mm-hmm. the pain that you experience. Yes. And I know a lot of that was spiritually based, and yes. that's how the healings happen. So with the young men that you have been mentoring, what are some of the things that you're seeing right now as far as their experiences?
The same things I went through, coming from broken homes, fatherless young men with low self-esteem, young men that don't know how to love.
Mm. Mm. I take a sigh mm-hmm. right there, because a lot of times we talk about love and relationships and marriage and things of that yeah. sort, and how dysfunctional a lot of them are.
Yes.
But we don't always just look directly to
right.
the children and how they're being raised. Because yeah. I don't believe that people want to be out in these streets just doing
right.
whatever and not being right. loved, not being in healthy relationships. Right. I don't believe that. But like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody's been through something. And
yes.
now get the help you need, please.
Right.
So anywho, before I get too much, because, you know, I'll just be my little heart. I'll be like,
oh.
I want my babies to be good. I want us to be yes. good out here. Yes. You know, loving each other.
First, we have to work on the homes that we grew up in. The homes yes. that have to be, the stuff that's broken has to be put together, but without the stuff that disconnected us.
Absolutely. And so that's a perfect kind of segue. What do you think parents can do, like, to help their child to create a more open atmosphere for their child to have, you know, be emotionally stable and healthy?
Okay, first, work on themselves, examine themselves, examine their traumas, and acknowledge their traumas they went through. be able to listen and be able to sit down and hear from their child, their point of view, because they're not disrespecting you. They're just expressing or explaining how they may feel or what they may see of the opposite. Mm-hmm. And it's the time that you can have an open dialogue and say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but from what I experienced, you know, I did this and I kind of went to the right. So this is why I don't want you to go to the right and fall off, because you have a bright future, but you have purpose. They speak life into them. Mm-hmm. They don't speak the light. They're so quick to tear down because they wait for them to make that mistake. Like they get a phone, they could do well in school for 3 weeks. And that one phone call you get at home, it's like, well, why did you do this? Why did you do that? It's like, why? You're quick to tear me down, but you're not lifting me up. But then they have to examine themselves to see, well, was I able to be uplifted when I was younger? Did my mom say nice things to me? Did my aunt say nice things to me? Whoever may raise you, say anything nice to you? And if they didn't, that's something that you're carrying over, that you have to begin to work on yourself first. Because it's easy for us to point the finger, because we don't want to examine ourselves. We want that mirror to reflect on ourselves. Because we already know we can get an attitude. We know we can cut people off. We know we can cuss people out. We know we can fight people. And we all understand that that's not the right way to handle things. But due to the emotional triggers and the things that we decide in our mind that this is me and you have to accept it, which at some point you have to get over that mentality, because you're not going to be able to go to a workplace with that mentality. You're not going to be able to go out and just do what you do with that mentality, because after a while, nobody's going to want to be bothered with you because they see that you're stuck and you're not going to be able to grow.
Absolutely. Oh, you better come through with the truth. That is the truth right there. And again, you have been through some stuff. Everybody has been through some stuff. That's my thing, is that the thing that actually got me on my path to healing is when I feel like God just spoke to me in my ear and was like, Audra, everybody has scars, some on the outside and some on the inside.
Yes.
And that is what got me on my path to start my healing process. And so I say that because everybody has scars.
Yes.
Some on the outside, some on the inside. And they are walking around with you.
Yes.
And this is parents. Like, a lot of times people think, oh, just because you can bring a child into the world, that, oh, you're supposed to just be this perfect parent.
Right.
And it's like, and I want parents to give themselves, like, really look in the mirror.
Right.
It's like, no, you're not a perfect person. Nobody's a perfect person. And you deserve to feel good.
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, especially if someone is a single parent or they've been through a lot of trauma in whatever situation, and if you have been through hell,
right,
you deserve some heaven right now, some peace of mind. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we got to get selfish enough to say, you know what? I deserve to feel good. I'm taking care of these kids, putting food on the table, doing all that I can, taking them to this soccer practice, basketball, football, whatever I can do. And I don't take time for myself. I don't, like, nobody told me that I was good enough. And it's like, I think when you start to look at yourself and give yourself some love, that little kid, that little boy or girl, that little child inside, some love that they didn't get, then I think so many times relationships outside of you will shift. Because you're right, because it is always an inside job first.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, I feel like I don't want to cut it off. I know you said do the inner work.
Yes.
Anything else you think could help a parent create an environment that'll be more conducive to a child, growing up and being emotionally healthy?
Thinking that what they didn't have, what they wanted when they was younger. Mm-hmm. That's how I created Young Men Becoming Men, because I didn't have my dad there. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, if my dad's not there, I thought about all the things I wanted to my dad to be able to be at a game, mm-hmm. or just be there to be able to talk, or be able to go to the store with my dad. And I sat there and thought, okay, well, think about all the things I didn't have and I wanted, put them together. Because once I got to an age where I was able to move out on my own, I didn't know how to cook. I said, watch my mom cook, but I didn't know how to cook.
Yeah.
So I started off at 1 week and then put on more weight because I was eating out every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's things in the house that we as boys and young men, we don't get taught. Only thing we get to understand enough is taking out the trash and, you know, playing a video game. We don't have the structure and the principles that's going to lead us into being a man one day.
Yeah. Got you. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So what would you say to someone, to a young man right now? We'll start with the young man who's going through a difficult experience, can't really talk to their parents, doesn't really have anybody around that he can either trust or that he looks up to at all. What would you say to that young man?
Find something that makes you happy. Do something that makes you happy every day. The pain that you feel will always be there. Mm-hmm. Don't hold on to what you don't have. Move forward till tomorrow, because yesterday is dead and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you are purpose and you are wonderfully made.
Yeah. What would you say to a parent, whether mom or dad, that they know they've made some mistakes? They realize it. They made some mm-hmm. mistakes in raising their child. They weren't necessarily, they didn't feel equipped to be a parent, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're open to some advice. What would you say?
Forgive yourself first. Mm-hmm. Sit down and talk about where you erred at. Accept where you erred at. And you take that moment and you think about where you erred. Deal with that at that moment. Sit it aside. Never deal with it again. You start new each day.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's no condemnation. It's not about. Yes. It's about just move forward and do what's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because my mom used to always tell me, a parent don't come with instruction, just like a child doesn't come with instruction. Yeah. But we have to learn and grow together.
Yeah.
And in our community, we're not taught togetherness. We're taught, you know, this is what you do. And this is like, even when we're younger, when we play with toys, first thing they do is once you argue with your sibling or your cousin over the toy, what they do? They get another toy and they give y'all separate toys. Teach you separation already. It's not teach you how to come together.
You better come through, Mr. Robert, and tell the truth on that. That is very true. That's very true. Because we do need to work together and learn how to do it. And that's a skill that we have to develop.
Right.
Because no man is an island.
Nope.
And it's like, we have to connect with yes. one another in peace and harmony. So right. it's like, all right, y'all go figure that out.
Right. That's the truth. And I'll be over here.
Right. Like, I don't know what y'all coming to be here for. Y'all better go figure it out.
Yep. That is so true. Don't we laugh? It's very true.
Yeah.
And that's how it was in my household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you are just dropping so many jewels. I think what I love about your story too is that it is just a reminder that a lot of times the stuff that we go through, it really, like, we can use that
yes.
to make a wonderful, positive difference in somebody else's life.
Yes.
And so I just, if anything, I know for me, it has been very, very much a blessing, and it has felt really good to even have this podcast where I get to talk to other people who've been yes. through some things. And the yes. only reason I'm doing this podcast is because I've been through some things.
Yeah. Yes. You yes. know? That's very true. Yes.
Yeah, so you pay it forward, you know? Right. And like, so nobody has had a perfect existence, a perfect life. Nothing has been just, you know, roses and bubblegum. It just hasn't. And that's okay.
That's what is what you make of your situation. It may start off hard, but once you find your purpose and lay your goals down, you can make things become better each day by implementing the things that you want with staying focused, being determined, and loving yourself for who you are.
Yes, you better come all the way through. That's so true. I love it. I love it so much. I think that is very, 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 very true. And so I also see that you have a book. What's going on?
Yes.
You got a book back there.
Yes, I do. Every family has a story.
Yes.
And I also have A Young Man's Cry.
Yes. Yes.
I also have an ebook as well.
Okay. So how can people get in touch with you? How can they, you know, whether they want some advice, whether they want to get their son in your program, how can they connect with you?
My email is robertcooper@youngmenbecomingmen.org. IG, I'm Robert Thomas Cooper Jr. Same as well as on Facebook, Robert Thomas Cooper Jr.
I love it.
Also through the website of youngmenbecomingmen.org as well.
I love it. Yes. Seeing a man paying it forward, doing the healing work. And here's the thing, it's not just for, okay, let me just throw this on out there.
Please.
I do not think healing work is just, okay, well, you a 45-year-old man, you like, well, I didn't get the healing when I was 16 and when I was 15. So I'm, you know, it's just over for me. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. You deserve the healing. You deserve to be in peace within yourself now. That means whatever healing work that you need to do, go ahead and do it now. That's me. That's my thoughts on that. But in case, like, Robert, do you mind sharing if you have a 45, 55, 35, however old this man is, but he is a grown man.
Right.
And he's struggling with the idea of healing, inner work, therapy, or anything like that, what would you say to that person?
First, I would tell them that destroying the cycles start with you. Mm. And it's never too late to heal. It's all about being able to be transformed. In order to be able to transform, you got to renew your mind. You got to let those thoughts go. You got to let those things die daily. Only thing that holds us back is pride and fear. You sit down your pride, you sit down your fear, you'll be able to open up yourself to be able to receive when you're ready for the help, because the help is here. You just have to take the step.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate you for coming on the show. If there's anything else that you would like to share, feel free. Anything else?
Anything else? I do one-on-one trauma sessions. I do family engagement sessions. I do millennial trauma sessions. I also coach. Help you write your book. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate the opportunity for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you for sharing your very powerful story and your story of redemption and transformation. And you are empowering other people, other young men. And I think it's fantastic. Thank you for your time. And Thank you. I'm so happy. Yes. Get on out there. You deserve this. That's what this is. He's like, you deserve it. And you do. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. All right. I appreciate you as well.